5. The Millennium Falcon put verdant Kashi Eek behind her. Jaina and Leia sat side by side in the outrigger cockpit, with C-3PO, quieter than usual, behind them in the navigator's chair. At Streen's unexpected request, Luke was taking everyone else to Yavin 4. Jaina might have gone along, but Leia had said she didn't want to pilot the Falcon home alone. While the Navicomputer calculated light-speed coordinates for the jump to Coruscant, Jaina glanced at her mother, who looked small and fragile in the oversized seat Chewie had occupied for so many years. She had scarcely said a word since lifting off from Platform Thys. "Not often I get to fly Dad's ship," Jaina said casually, hoping to open a conversation. Leia reacted as if she had been yanked from a trance. "What?" "I said I was surprised Dad asked me to fly the Falcon home." Leia smiled at her. "Record holder at Lando's Folly? Rogue squadron pilot? Your father thinks very highly of your skills." Jaina was quiet for a moment. "I hope he gets home all right." Leia laughed. "Don't worry, he'll hop a freighter or a trader's ship and probably beat us back to Coruscant. He doesn't need help in that area." "Or any other area," Jaina said, frowning. Leia made her lips a thin line and took her daughter's hand. "Don't confuse refusing help with not needing it." "Why is he like that?" "How much time do we have?" Leia joked. "The short answer is that your father wasn't raised the way you and I were. He didn't have the support of a family or the comfort of a stable home." She shook her head. "He's been so many things. A swoop racer, a pilot, an officer in the Imperial Navy, a smuggler. But all those occupations have one thing in common. They require extreme self-reliance and a certain amount of aloofness. He didn't grow up accustomed to getting help, so he's certainly not about to ask for it." "But he's been acting like he's the only one who misses Chewie." "He knows that isn't true, and he's aware of how he's been acting. When he and I returned to Cernpadal after Chewie died, he told me he suddenly felt that the world had become unsafe, that he'd always thought of our family and close friends as almost immune to tragedy, living in a kind of bubble. How all of us have managed to survive the things we've been through is nothing short of astonishing. But all the narrow escapes, the flirting with death, only made Han feel more invulnerable. Chewie's death changed that. Your father even included Mara's illness as evidence of how insecure and unpredictable everything has become." Leia paused, recalling something. "It didn't occur to me until later on that I'd heard him express the same doubts once before, just after you and Jason and Anakin had been kidnapped by Hethrir. Do you remember how protective he became?" Jaina shook her head. "Not really." "Well, you were pretty young. But trust me, your dad wouldn't let any of you kids out of his sight for months." Leia glanced at Jaina. "He'd like to have everyone believe he's a hardened skeptic, but the fact is, he runs on faith." "Then why is he keeping such a distance from everyone?" "Because giving into his pain would require him to break down and really grieve, instead of shutting himself off from the world. And he's too slick for that."
"Is that how he got that nickname?"
Leia shook her head. "That's another story." Jaina tortured her lower lip with her teeth.
"Mom, he will come home, won't he? I mean, we're all he has right now, right?"
"Of course," Leia started to say, when C-3PO interjected. "I only hope it's enough." Myth Kumas, Calibop Sergeant-at-Arms of the New Republic Senate, for two terms running, spread his wings as he rose from his commodious seat on the dais of Coruscant's Grand Convocation Chamber. "Senators, I would caution you to refrain from disrupting these proceedings with vocal displays or outbursts, warranted or otherwise." Kumas waited until everyone had fallen silent, then inclined his maned head toward the speaker's rostrum that stood opposite the dais on the polished stone floor of the great hall. Director Beldar Nulik of the Abroan Institute has been recognized, and he deserves to be heard out. Nodding curtly to Kumis in appreciation, Beldar Nulik resumed his tirade. Furthermore, it is the Institute's contention that the New Republic has failed to honor its obligation to provide defense where needed. A human of considerable girth, he affected custom-tailored suits and a walking cane hand-carved from greel wood. His jowls quivered as he spoke, and he frequently punctuated his remarks by stabbing the air with a chubby forefinger. It was clear to the members of this body that Abroaskai was imperiled, but nothing was done to safeguard us from attack. The Yuuzhan Vong descended on us like Velkers, picking our cities clean. He paused to clear his throat. I was tending to business on Coruscant at the time, but I have seen the hollow reports. Hushed utterings, few of them flattering, spread through the hall, prompting Kumis to repeat his appeal for some measure of decorum. Gratified by the commotion his remarks had elicited, Beldar Nulik folded his stout arms and rested them on his ample abdomen. Tiers of randomly positioned galleries, boxes, and balconies loomed on all sides, rising clear to the domed ceiling, with page, protocol, and interpreter droids moving along the ramps, bridges, and stairways that linked them. While placement was not an indication of rank, many of the senators seated in the upper levels represented worlds only recently admitted to the New Republic, and were frequently regarded by the lower-tier delegates as audience members rather than participants. As an appeasement to them, there was talk of equipping some of the loftiest galleries with detachable hover platforms, such as had been used in the waning days of the Old Republic, but no one gave the rumors much credence. From one of those galleries came the voice of Thuv Shinev, spokesperson for 175 inhabited planets, in the outer reaches of the Taian hegemony. Simultaneously, a life-size hologram of the human senator resolved from a projector well on the chamber floor between the speaker's rostrum and the advisory council's dais, with its tight arc of heterogeneous chairs. Anyone in doubt as to the senator's identity could access information on small displays built into the armrests of every chair in the hall. I submit to this body that a task force was deployed to protect Abroaskai, Shinev argued, and that all within reason was done. Beldar Nulik addressed Shinev's hologram. A pair of reconditioned Golan defense platforms and a couple of antique warships hardly constitute a task force, Senator. That was all that could be spared, Director. Bothan Chief of State Borsk Felia growled from his seat on the dais. His violet eyes flashed. What's more, I find such recriminations reprehensible, in light of the enemy's erratic movements and often unpredictable strategies. Beldar Nulik spread his hands placatingly. Chief Felia, I'm simply trying to prevent further errors in judgment. It's one thing to ignore the pleas of Outer Rim worlds, but to allow a world of Abroaskai's prominence to fall into enemy hands. I object to the Director's blatant chauvinism, the Senator from Agamar interrupted. And by what right does Abroaskai portray itself as a cynosure? Beldar Nulik glowered at the human and flung his words with brutal carelessness. Abroaskai's dedication to the perpetuation of cultural diversity makes it more important than other worlds. I demand that something be done to rescue what remains of our historical documents before it's too late. Senator Kumis, a deep and mellifluous female voice rang out, I ask to be recognized. Kumis spread his wings. The Senate recognizes Senator Vicky Shesh of Kuat. A slender, handsome woman of indeterminate age, Shesh flipped radiant black hair over her shoulder as she rose from her balcony seat. Relatively new to politics, she had quickly become known as a clever deal-maker with a knack for keeping all sides happy. The media had taken an immediate interest in her, to the point where she had been the subject of countless news stories, and her face was almost as widely recognized as that of Chief of State Failia. On the matter of rescuing data, Director, it is my understanding that shiploads of important documents were relocated to the Institute's facility on Coruscant well in advance of the attack on Abroasky. Was I misinformed? A fraction of what we had hoped to save, Beldar Nolik countered nastily. Shesh beetled her fine brows and nodded in a way that combined gravity and conceit. Forgive my saying so, but the past concerns me far less than the future. While the loss of Abroasky is a terrible blow, the New Republic military is hardly in a position to spare ships to retake a world when it is already overextended in defending so many others. The Yuuzhan Vong are widening their hold of key sectors in the outer and mid-rims, and unless their advance is thwarted, they could reach the colonies or the core in a standard year, leaving even Coruscant itself vulnerable to assault. Beldar Nolik studied her stonily. I see through you, Senator. Abroasky was surrendered because it lacked strategic value. When Yuuzhan Vong warships begin to close on Kuat, Chandrila, or Bathawi, I doubt very much that the New Republic fleets will be otherwise engaged. The military was in force at Ithor, even the Imperial Remnant. And Ithor was despoiled in spite of our efforts, Shesh said. I sympathize, Director, but I certainly don't see what can be done now. Beldar Nolik slammed his fist into his open hand. We can appeal to the Yuuzhan Vong to allow Abroasky to remain accessible to scholars. Denunciations flew from every quarter. While Kumis was attempting to restore order, Borsk Failia got to his feet, his cream-colored fur bristling. It is not the policy of this body to bargain with aggressors, he pronounced, in a way that left little room for argument. But Beldar Nolik was unmoved. Then I'm afraid you leave the Abroan Institute no choice but to forge a separate peace with the Yuuzhan Vong. I strongly advise against that, Director, Shesh said. The most recent attempt at appealing to the Yuuzhan Vong's sense of fair play ended in the grisly murder of one of our own. Senator Alegos Akla. I hold Luke Skywalker and the Jedi accountable for the death of Senator Akla, Beldar Nolik said in disgust, and all that has befallen us. Where were they when Abroasky fell? Anyone would think they would have been the first to protect a center of learning. Even the Jedi can't be everywhere at once, Failia said. Still, I blame them. I blame the Jedi and the Bothan's own Admiral Tra-Est Creefe, who has become a dangerous rogue. I demand a retraction, Failia fulminated. Such remarks are blatantly inflammatory and provocative. What information do we have about the genesis of this war? The director said, playing to the audience. We have only the word of the Jedi that the Yuuzhan Vong wiped out the Exegol outpost on Belkaden and attacked Dubrillion and Cernpadal. But who is to say that the Yuuzhan Vong weren't provoked to such actions by the Jedi themselves? Met with hostility, perhaps they simply responded in kind. Perhaps this conflict is nothing more than a perpetuation of that initial misunderstanding, fueled by the subsequent actions of the Jedi at Dantooine and Ithor, including Admiral Creefe and Rogue Squadron, along with other hapless units that have been dragged into this struggle. Beldar Nolik paused dramatically and gestured broadly to the hall. Where are the Jedi even now? Where is Ambassador Organa Solo? Wasn't it she, Senator, and representatives, who first brought the Yuuzhan Vong to your attention? Alderaanian Counselor Cal Omis spoke up. Ambassador Organa Solo is attending to personal business. And may I remind Director Beldar Nolik and other members of this assembly that she does not represent the Jedi Knights, Shesh added. Then just who does? Beldar Nolik pressed. Why are they permitted to take whatever actions they see fit without having to answer to this body or to the Defense Force? We are alleged to be members of a New Republic, and yet it seems to me that we are weaker than the old Republic, which at least had the Jedi under reign." He looked around the hall. "I ask you, too, what are the Jedi waiting for? Do they fear the Yuuzhan Vong? Or is it that they harbor secret designs of their own? I suggest that you put an end to their reckless conduct, and that you open negotiations with the Yuuzhan Vong without using the Jedi, or anyone with ties to the Jedi, like Alegos Akla had, as intermediaries." Vicky Shesh was the first to speak when the hall had quieted sufficiently for anyone to be heard. "Senators, if nothing else, I think we can all take some consolation in the fact that Director Beldar Nolik is neither a politician nor a military strategist." She waited for the laughter and applause to subside. "We must not allow ourselves to be undermined by divisiveness, nor should we allow the fall of Ithor, and now Abroaskai, to undermine our confidence in the Jedi. I know that you will agree with me when I say that by weakening the Jedi Knights, we only weaken ourselves."